This is Pastor Bill Woods. I'm bringing you a message today from Sun Valley, Arizona. I want to talk to you about the Great Reset, which is scheduled for January of 2021. I want to read to you from Revelation chapter 13, verses 15 through 18, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Says he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now, some of you people say, well, you know, these things are going to happen during the tribulation. We're not there yet. And that's true. But things have to be set up so they're in place when it does come time for the tribulation. And I think we're seeing some of that happen now. In fact, we're living the most critical, crucial days in history. Prophecies from thousands of years ago are being fulfilled on a daily basis. Everything has or is changing so fast that we don't recognize our world anymore. Jesus is coming soon, and Satan is trying to do as much damage as he can before Christ calls everything to a halt. Because of the coronavirus, we've been locked down in our homes. Schools and businesses, even churches, have been closed. Millions of jobs have been lost. There are shortages of domestic products that up until now we just took for granted. Things like toilet paper and hand sanitizer. We have been told we have to wear masks if we go anywhere. We have to stay at least 6 feet away from the people that we're in, around. And that means that there's no hugging, so I see that as a benefit, and I say, yay, joking. People are catching the coronavirus by the thousands and are sick, and hundreds are dying. We're told there's a need for global powers to cooperate in simultaneously managing and direct consequence of the COVID-19 crisis. Hoping to improve the state of the World Economic Forum is starting the Great Recess Initiative. The World Economic Forum annual meeting of 2020 took place January 21st through 24th at this year in Switzerland. More than 3,000 global leaders from politics and government, civil society, academia, the arts and culture, as well as the media, met to discuss the theme Stakeholders for a Cohesive and Sustainable World. The focus was to define new models for building sustainable and inclusive societies in a plurilateral world. The forum met again in Geneva, Switzerland on June 3rd, 2020. They plan a further meeting on August 14th through 18th of this year, 2020. This is all looking forward to January 2021, which is the World Economic Forum's 51st annual gathering of world leaders to discuss climate change, world economics, and many other global changes that we face. They're calling this world conference the Great Reset. They say a Great Reset is necessary to build a new social contract that honors the dignity of every human being. The global health crisis has laid bare the unsustainability of our old system in terms of social cohesion, the lack of equal opportunities, and inclusiveness. They say we cannot turn our backs on the evils of racism and discrimination. The chairman of this forum is Prince Charles, who is also, you know, known as the Prince of Wales, who, along with many other world leaders, say COVID-19 has accelerated our opportunity to seize the moment and put together a functioning system of smart global cooperation structured to address the challenges of the next 50 years. They keep saying we have to seize this open window opportunity while it's open to us. The Great Reset will cause us to integrate all stakeholders of global society into a community of common interests, purposes, and action. They envision a one-world community. This would involve a one-world government, one-world currency, one-world religion. It's breathtaking to realize the speed at which we're going that way right now. On the money scene, they claim right now is there's a shortage of coins, so everyone has to use exact change. That means if you're buying something that is $5.29, it'll probably go back to the first whole number, $5. If it happens to be $5.51, it would go to the $6 mark. And soon we'll see $1 bills and $5 bills phased out in order to streamline our buying and selling. We're being encouraged to use credit and debit cards, which contain a chip. This way, your spending habits and travel can be monitored to know what you buy and where you buy it. Well, what if you lose that card with the chip? That chip contains so much of your information. It would be safer for everyone to have the chip embedded in your flesh or in your arm or your forehead. One of the things they're talking about today in connection to the coronavirus is a vaccine that everybody in the world is supposed to be given a shot. And one of the things that's in the vaccine is a small chip. Now, I'm very suspicious of this, and I would encourage you, don't be so willing to take the vaccine until you know exactly what's going on. I know that Bill Gates Foundation and the World Health Organization are doing everything they can to try to reduce the population of the world by 15%. And they're the ones that are saying we have to have this vaccination, and if we don't have it, we'll not be able to buy or sell, which I think is a little scary. Everybody knows carrying money is inconvenient, so they're saying let's use digital money, things like the bitcoins and things like that. Virtual currency seems like the logical next step, one that could bring markets closer together and facilitate faster trade. The future of money seems to be digital, and central banks and the public sector have a crucial part to play in ensuring that this future is sustainable, inclusive, and positive for society. The initiative builds on work done by the Forum for the past year, convening a global community of central banks to co-design a policy framework for the adoption of digital currencies. The Forum's Global Technology Governance Summit will take place in San Francisco next April 21st to 22nd. Governance of digital currency will be a core pillar. Another consideration, the chip can carry your credit history, your medical history, and they're saying that would be good if you'd be found unconscious someplace. They could look and see what kind of diseases you have and all that. And the chip also would let you into places, where you wouldn't have to use a key, just kind of pass the chip over this lock and it opens up. It's much more convenient, they say, than messing with cash. Another benefit would be drug dealers and criminals and purveyors of illegal merchandise can be stopped. Can you sense the dangers of the direction we're heading? Well, don't panic. We knew these developments were coming. We just didn't know how soon. Jesus Christ will soon come to rescue his bride. Now, we know that the bride of Christ is the true church, people that know Christ as their personal Savior and are living for him. And one of these days, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 50, that the Lord is going to come and he's going to catch us up. The graves will open. Christians come out of the graves. We which are alive will be caught up to be him with him in the air. And so it's pretty exciting to think that Jesus Christ is going to come. And I happen to believe that before things get too critical in the tribulation, that Jesus will remove his church. We're seeing signs about that all the time. So be encouraged, because every time God is pouring judgment on a sinful world, he has protected his people. For instance, Noah and his family were put in the ark, and were in the ark of safety when before the flood even started, before it even started to rain. Lot and his family were also rescued from Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Lot's wife turned around and disobeyed and looked back and became a pillar of salt. But Lot and his family were led out of there by angels before the fire and brimstone began to fall upon these cities. Rahab and her family were rescued when Jericho was invaded, these people were saved. God saves his people. And if he doesn't take you out of harm's way, he will strengthen you and help you stand for him. Jesus promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. And also God promised back in Deuteronomy 33:25, your sandals shall be iron and bronze as your days, so shall your strength be. Whatever you have to face, God will strengthen you and help you to face it with his power. Remember that Jesus loves you and he's going to stand with you through any circumstance that you have to face. Remember also that the outcome for being faithful to Jesus far outweighs anything we'll have to go through here on earth. My favorite hymn, I think, is When We See Christ. It goes like this. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. And I say, amen, praise the Lord. We can't know what lies ahead, but we can know someone who does know. He wants us to be victorious, and God wants us to reach heaven even more than we do. So I would say today, trust Jesus in these troubled days. While skiing in Colorado one day, a man noticed some people on the slope wearing red vests. Moving closer, he could read these words on their vest, blind skier. Well, he couldn't believe it. He had a hard time skiing with 20/20 vision. How could people without sight manage to ski? He watched the skiers for a while, intrigued about the whole thing. He discovered their secret. Each skier had a guide who skied beside, behind, or in front of him, always in a position where the two could easily communicate. The guide used two basic forms of communication. First, tapping his ski poles together to assure the blind person that he was there. And second, speaking simple, specific directions, like go right, turn left, slow down, stop, there's a skier on your right. The skier's responsibility was to trust the guide to give good instructions and to immediately and completely obey those instructions. You know, we can't even see 5 seconds into the future. We cannot see the struggles to come. Other people may run into us, or we may run into them like errant skiers on a crowded slope. But God has given us the Holy Spirit to be our guide through life, to walk before and behind us, and to dwell in us. Our role is to listen and to obey. On May 19, 1780, a scene unfolded in the Connecticut Governor's Council. Around 9 in the morning, the sky turned as dark as night. Shaken by the unnatural darkness, some of the politicians suggested they end their meeting early. Councilman Abraham Davenport, a Connecticut militia colonel, would have none of it. He said, I'm against adjournment. He said, the day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, there is no cause for adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. I wish, therefore, that candles be brought. And stirred by these words, the council agreed to continue the session by candlelight. We know Jesus Christ is coming. Our assignment is to occupy until he comes, not to sit down and just wait. I mean, there have been people in the past that have done that, that thought the Lord was coming and went out and stood on mountains to expect him to come, and he didn't come. So don't just quit on your future plans. Continue planning in case Jesus Christ tarries longer than we think he will, but do be ready when he comes. Matthew chapter 24, 36 through 42, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Now, I haven't brought you this message to scare you this morning. In fact, I hope it will encourage you as you realize God is still in control and he knows exactly what is happening to you. In fact, he prophesied all these things hundreds and thousands of years ago. So I would say, Christian, take heart. I read a book one time that said this: God never promised we'd be ahead at the half. He just said we'd win the game. And I want you to know the game's worth playing, the game's worth winning. We want to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever is happening out there in our world today, we can be assured it's not taking God by surprise. And we can be assured that Jesus Christ will stand with us and for us, and one day take us to be with him forever. And again, my song, it will be worth it all when we see Christ. Listen, I'd like to have a word of prayer with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, bow your heads and right now confess your sins to Jesus and ask him to forgive you and tell him that you're going to live for him. You're going to change your life and quit sinning. You're going to repent, which is a complete about face, 180 degree turnaround, and start living what God wants you to live. Dear Jesus, you know who's listening to this podcast right now. Some of these people don't know you as their personal Savior. If you were to come today, they would be left behind. They would have to face the tribulation, and God, that would be awful. Worse yet, if they happen to die without you, or they don't accept you as their Savior, there's going to be an eternity in hell, and that goes on forever and ever. And God, I just pray that you'll help us to realize how serious you are about that, that you sent Jesus Christ, your Son, to suffer, bleed, and die for us, and raise again from the dead, that we might know the assurance that you have a place built for us. You said in your word that you're going to prepare a place for us, and if you go, you're going to come again and take us unto yourself, that where you are, there we may be also. And so, Father, bless those that are listening today, those that don't know you as their Savior, help them to accept you as their Savior. Those who do know you as their Savior, help them to realize the times in which we live are critical, but our God is more powerful than anything that we have to face, and we'll give you the praise. Now, amen, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Now, for some reason, if you would like to get in contact with me, my mailing address is Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. And if you have something you would like to tell me about your experience with God, or ask questions or something, just give me a note and I'll try to answer back to you. Also, there have been people that say, you know, how do you support this program? Well, if anybody wants to send money in, it will be counted. We are recognized as a charitable trust and recognized by the government as a taxable, you can get tax credit for supporting us. So if you would like to send money in, it would be much appreciated. However, we're not begging for anything because we trust the Lord is going to take care of us. So God bless you. We encourage you to pray and read your Bible and learn as much as you can about what's going on in our world today, knowing full well that your God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life.